Let's turn to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. And we're going to be going through this entire chapter pretty much over the next few weeks, but we're going to start in verses 1 through 7, the parable of the lost sheep. So start there, Luke 15, 1 through 7. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Amen. Now, prior just to speaking this parable, we see that the Lord Jesus is accused by the Pharisees of receiving and eating with sinners. Yet, notice, you know, Christ doesn't even say anything. He just goes right into a parable. Don't you love that? He doesn't actually answer their question. He doesn't say, "This is why I'm eating with these people." Rather, he tells them how their view of those people and what's happening is just wrong. And in fact, he tells them they should be rejoicing in what they're seeing, not complaining about it. So in our parable today, the sinners with whom Jesus is eating, those are the lost sheep. And note that when the sheep was lost, perhaps you think what might happen if a sheep wanders off. The shepherd might call for it, but it did not come back. So the shepherd goes and looks for the sheep. Now, just as the shepherd man in our parable, Jesus searches out the man who's unable to do anything for himself, right? God goes to man. Man doesn't go to God. God finds the man who is lost in sin, and when he finds him, all of heaven rejoices. So I want to jump to right to two applications today for us. Number one, Christ loves his redeemed, his chosen ones, who hear his voice, and nothing is going to stop him from saving them. As he says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." See, the Pharisees were saying, "Jesus, what are you doing hanging out with these people? I mean, they're the tax collectors. They work for the Roman government. And as Jews, they've basically made themselves moral outcasts." But Jesus says, "That doesn't stop me. In fact, God rejoices more over one of those moral outcasts who repents than over 99 righteous ones who need no repentance." So do you see the heart of our Father here? He's passionate about the lost. He loves his sheep, and we should too. So first, we see this is why he came, right? From Mark 2:17, we know that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Secondly, this is us, isn't it? We're the lost sheep on Jesus' shoulders. But the lesson for us is twofold. First, we do need to step forward and go share with the lost. For this is what heaven rejoices about. This is what Jesus loves. If you want to love what Jesus loves, go find it. Go find someone lost to which to share eternal life with. And secondly, may we never, never think like the Pharisees, that we're just too different than this other person to go share with them. As James says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" Or may we, like Paul, approach the lost with a heart attitude of who we are. We were bought with a price. We're the prisoners, the grateful prisoners of the Lord, sinners who have now known and received the grace of God, ambassadors of Christ, carrying with us the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. So do you see the outward appearance of the lost person? Maybe their occupation, their awkward social interactions, their messed up path. Those are not barriers for us to proclaim the truth to all people. We step forward right into that. And may our hearts leap for joy when just one lost sinner repents. So this is so many times on Wednesday nights at our prayer meeting, I'll just ask people to just say the names of people they're praying for, of lost people that don't know them, because we want to pray for them. Like Christ and like heaven, we should long to and look forward to rejoicing over the coming repentance of these souls. Which leads to our second application. This one's a little more personal. Rejoicing. Notice the man's action when he finds the sheep, right? You can look at your text. First, he lifts it up. He finds the sheep. He lays it on his shoulders. This is a sign of victory, of triumph. You might see sports teams or something doing this. They pick up the winner and carry him through the crowd, right? Because it's a celebration. And secondly, he comes home, and then he calls all his friends over. Praise the Lord, my sheep is found. Come over, because I'm throwing the biggest party I've ever had. This is something to celebrate about. And likewise, this is what heaven rejoices in, repentance. This is what God loves, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. This is what God throws parties for. Brothers and sisters, the question for us today is, what do you celebrate? What gets you excited? What do you clap for? What do you jump up and down for? What puts that huge smile on your face? Yes, when a lost one repents, this should be one of our greatest celebrations, and the same goes for the repentance and confession we see right here among us. Christ says, this is worthy of praise. Repentance is what heaven rejoices over. And so I just want to end again with one application for all of us. What do you get excited about? Parents, grandparents, in your homes, what do you celebrate more than anything else? Are you aligned with heaven here and you're rejoicing? When a child comes forward and says, Mommy and Daddy, I've been mean to my sister and I'm sorry. And I want Jesus to help me stop. Oh, do you see that is the best thing in the world? Do you get it? That's the best thing in the world, brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus says. There's nothing better. There's just nothing better. This is when your children should see your biggest smile, should feel your strongest embrace. This heaven's rejoicing. Do you get it? Are you? Do we get excited and throw parties for the works of men or for the works of God? What's your testimony to your children, parents? What do you clear the calendar for? What will you sit and spend time with? What do you spend money on? The celebration of another holiday? Or do you rejoice in repentance? May that be our testimony, right? May our children grow up into adulthood and look back and say, well, my dad was a pretty normal guy. But wow, when there was genuine broken humility in the home, wow, he got excited about that. He loved that. He lost his job one time, our house burnt down, we got a new president everybody was excited about. None of that really fazed my dad. But when there was confession and repentance in our home, wow. Or when that neighbor he talked to about Jesus for 13 years finally came to church, wow, I've never seen my dad so happy. He loved that more than anything else. And he loved to talk about God and the power of God. And the redeeming work of Christ. It's convicting to me, brothers and sisters, because this is not my everyday life. But may God make it so, that this may be the testimony we leave to our children. So my question to you today, what do you get excited about? What are you celebrating? What are you rejoicing in? What are you dreaming about? A new home? A better job? Children that can just do their math problems? Or do you anticipate the work of God? Are you watching for repentance? Are you on the edge of your seat, ready for God's next restoration and redemption? And are you preparing the celebration? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you leave the 99 to go seek the lost sheep. And what rejoicing it brings for this incredible work of a contrite heart, of redemption, which is so sincere to the utmost of our soul, of who you are and recognizing who we are in you. Oh God, we pray that you'd give us a love for repentance, and this would be what we rejoice over more than anything else. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.